W4NGU.
Brent. Trying to polish off a glass of lemonade, and Bernice brought me over a cup of coffee. My eyes don't float. Just got back the second time from Lowe's because some lowlife cross-threaded a piece that we needed for the bathtub drain and took it back, and they put it back on the shelf. So guess who bought it? And I didn't see that Scott's tape on the back because I never buy something that's been opened. At any rate, made a second trip. Got to talk to our friend W4DGW. And enjoyed that, Phil. And we got the plumbing done with the assistance of my great plumber here and farmer, Bernice.
That's good. I had heard you talking to Dave a little earlier before I had to turn off the walkie-talkie in the house. And I just wonder what's going on here. You know, my church, I live right beside the church, and a bunch of fire engines out here and a bunch of cars with antennas. I wonder if we had a local fireman to die. I don't know.
I don't know. There was one that got killed in a motorcycle, two that got killed in a motorcycle accident, 2 days apart, unfortunately. But I think that procession, well, it might not have been over with because they did a procession to take his body down, and so that might be the finalizing of it. That's a great loss. He was a young man, too. Motorcycles down here are murdercycles, I think, Phil.
A mandatory helmet law. Open knowledge that that's where most of the organs come from for transplant, and so they purposefully don't change the law.
Oh, that's sick. Excuse me. Well, you know, I worked in a hospital the last year before I retired, and just in maintenance, but that's what they said, and they called them murder cycles or donor cycles. And God help me, I'm a hypocrite because I certainly loved riding back in the old days. But back in Kansas, we just didn't have this kind of traffic.
I didn't. Well, I need to run into Walmart here for a minute. I don't usually get groceries on Sunday, but she started a cake this afternoon and opened the refrigerator and saw that some unthinking husband had eaten the last two eggs this morning for breakfast, so I've got to get some eggs. I'll be out here in a little bit. W4NGU.
Okay, be careful, Phil. Lowe's, I told Dave, it looked like right after you hit a fire ant mound with a hoe or kicked it. And that's how many people was in there. I still wore a mask. W4NGU in 0TR. Catch you later.
4CBA Mobile.
Talking about you being a rider of one of those donor cycles in 0TR.
Is we Kimosabe?
It's W4NGU.
Well, is he still on here?
Moon signed off real quick.
Okay, well, whatever. Oh, me. I'm going to the pharmacy to pick up a prescription.
Well, I'm just full of it this morning. You're leaving yourself wide open. I wasn't in a good humor earlier. I had to do a little skin diving for the Roto-Rooter here on the bathtub, and now the dishwasher's acting up. Do you happen to have that license?
What license is that? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Well, Steve told me you had a license as a skin diver for the Roto-Rooter.
Well, oh, Lordy. Well, if you got a plumbing issue, you definitely don't want me working on it.
To be honest with you, and I'm ashamed to admit it, Bernice did most of it this morning because I can't hardly get down to work on things now. And she was gracious enough to help me out there. I went to Lowe's, got the part, has that little plunger in it, you know, and it hooks up to the hootie doody that goes up and down and shuts the drain in the tub. And somebody bought one, cross-threaded the little arm that you got to adjust for your length of throw, and then took it back and kept the cotter pin out of it also. Now, I have a box of cotter pins. That's not an issue. But I'll be danged if I was going to get the die out and re-thread that stupid thread on there, which probably would have been metric.
No, that's why I have fractional and metric tap and die sets. I have them all the way up to, I can do lug nuts on cars if I need to. It's just amazing. Of course, usually you cross thread a lug nut with and use an impact to put it on, it usually breaks coming off, so, you know, then you're replacing the stud and the lug nut, so that's the way that goes, and on some cars, it's really a pain, but there's a few tricks, and putting those things in, and once you learn those, it's not near as bad. The only one I hate doing was my daughter had a Honda Civic. It was an older Civic. It was in the 90s. I can't remember exactly what year it was. But you had to take the whole front spindle off the car and put it in a press and press the spindle off the bearing to get the to the lug nut to get it off.
That would not make me happy unless you had a shop or a nice press or something. you'd be SOL on that. That's really sad, but that's why they have engineers doing that job. They designed it to make us mechanics and electricians swear. Shoot, well, we got it done, but now the dishwasher's acting up. I have a short tolerance for dishwashers, and so I'm going to throw it in the ditch and get another one, probably. But Bernice says it isn't the most expensive one, it's necessarily the best one, so I got the consumer's guide out here. I guess we're going to go outside and work in the yard some. It's 58 degrees, but there's anywhere from 9 to 17 mile an hour wind out of the north-northeast, Dave, and makes it too windy for Dave to go flying, he said, and I can surely understand that.
AP4 CBA, yeah, today's not a day to be flying your RC airplanes, that's for sure. We were finishing up the cabinets, or I was, this morning. Finally got everything done, so I gotta put some hardware, the handles on, but because my wife's doing a little touch-up painting, so she wants me to wait. But other than that, I've already drilled the holes, so I just have to put them on. So my contractor that's doing the bathroom, he gave me a tool, and it lines it. You line everything up, and with your hardware, and it has a stop on it, and you can just use it on every door. And, so it's got your holes lined up, and you just drill through it, and drill you two holes and go on to the next door. So it's real easy to use. I tell you, it sure saved a lot of headache.
Sir, it sounds like you're a lot like me, Dave, and like you mentioned, the lug nuts and that. And, I have metric and standard taps and dies, and I even have taps for national pipe threads up to probably 3/4 or 1 inch. And I still got a pipe threader, I'm sure, of some kind down there. It's been so long I wouldn't ever use it again, I'm sure. Even got a pipe vise out in the tin barn that's so heavy that it erupts you to pick it up. So I know I ain't going to be using that. But I like to have tools. You know, it reminds me, we had a superintendent, and the only thing he was interested in was his Corvette and women, I think. But, you know, he'd been a machinist most of his life before he become the superintendent by stabbing everybody in the back. And he sold all of his machinist tools, and he didn't have a tool to his name. You wouldn't imagine the things he'd come back to the maintenance shop and ask us for. And he told me one day, he says, "I don't even have a set of wrenches anymore." But you know what? How do you keep house without having some kind of tools around?
Before CPA. Yeah, I wouldn't give my tools away for anything or sell them or whatever. I mean, and I've got some specialty tools that have been handmade that do one specific thing, and I'll probably never use it again. But I made it for, I don't know, something with the county that I was working on with the county. And I can't even tell you what it was because I can't remember. But anyway... but I'll just keep it. I mean, you know. And I've got some other things I know that, like for rebuilding carburetors, that I'll never use again. But they're just sitting there in the toolbox, and unless somebody wants to buy them, I'll just hang on to them.
Way I feel. You never need them till you need one. And I just couldn't be without some of them. Now, a lot of the ones that I'd never use again and some of the bigger stuff, I just give it to my neighbor Tim because he's a great guy and he'd do anything for us. And I give him some air tools. They weren't expensive ones. Things of that nature that I just never use again. And I try to pass them on because my son-in-law, he don't want them. He's an engineer, mechanical engineer, matter of fact, with a master's degree from Ohio State. And he's got tools, but he just don't want very many. And he can always come get mine if he needs to. It's just like having to make 2 trips to Lowe's a while ago because of somebody else's ignorance. I was not happy. But it wasn't the people up front's fault, so I didn't give them any guff about it. And they exchanged it without any problem. And, somebody might have said, "Well, you might have done that," but I didn't do it. And that's when I would, have gotten infuriated. But at any rate, I'm retired. I got the time. Well, you going for tennis later today, or are you just going back to the cabinets? I had to put on some under cabinet lights there the day before yesterday, and that's the most of that kind of stuff I've done lately.
No tennis today. I could play if I wanted to, but anyway. I just decided to take a day off because I'll play every day this week, so what the heck. I knew my wife wanted to get this these cabinet doors mounted and, get the level. Revlon, and they're also soft close, so, or self-closing or whatever it is. Anyway, you just get started and it closes by itself. I'm gonna tell my 7-year-old grandson when he's up here this coming weekend that there's a little elf inside that closes the door. So see if he bites on that one.
Phil, if you're in there, I know you went to Walmart to get some eggs. You might be in there. Let me take just a little break here.
Tom, y'all carry on. I'm back home looking up something on the computer for my wife. Y'all have a good day, and I'll be listening to W4NGU.
Good to hear you. And, Dave, I was talking to Jim, KA4LAO, and he's been fighting an antenna, and he's got a son that's brilliant in RF, and that was helping him. And he's got, I forget what kind of antenna he said he had, offset or something, I don't know. But at any rate, he's been having some problems with that. I talked to him for a little while this morning. I think he was coming home from church, he said. Well, when I went to Lowe's a while ago, I told Dave it looked like the number of people was there looked like you'd just taken a hole and dug into a fire ant mound.
Oh, man. I tell you, you know, I didn't realize it, but I was talking to the Terminix guy, and we have some fire ants that come up. Fire ant beds that come up in different places in the yard in the summer, and he said that you don't want to disturb them when you're laying out the poison or whatever it is that you put on their nest. He said because when they come up and they're in their angry mode and they're not and they won't eat it and die. So you want to sprinkle it around the perimeter of the nest so that when they come up, they'll eat it and they'll take some of it down with them, and some of the other ones will eat it. And anyway, and I just thought that was interesting because I always poured it right on top of the nest and poured some hot water on it, and and it seemed to always do the trick, so. But anyway. But, he knows a lot more about fire ants than I do.
Well, it sounds like good advice. I remember somebody telling, Dad Burnett. Lost my train of thought there. How you get rid of the fire ants, but it was funny. It was Ray, K4SUG. And Ray told him it definitely wasn't the way you wanted to do it, and I forget how he described it, but it was comical. Obviously, he wasn't a native. But Ray, he knows those kind of things. I couldn't hardly do that, though, Dave. That sounds like good sound advice. There's no question with his background, but I like to tick him off. And I like to... Bernice has got a hole that belonged to her mom, and there's only about an inch and a half wide and 2 inches long, and I always smack it with that. And then Amdrol is what I put on it from Lowe's. And but Amy ordered stuff this year for us, and we drove up to Inman and picked up a truckload of stuff for her and us. And Bernice and I have been putting that out. Actually, Bernice mostly. She doesn't like the way the spreader that you tow behind the lawnmower works, neither do I. So we got this little electric hand one that is battery operated. Boy, it does a fine job. And that stuff looks like powdered sugar. It's so fine. But we put out the front yard yesterday, and we'll do the rest of it today. And But there is a place there, domyown.com, that is really good on prices on insecticides and stuff like that, that we have in the past ordered some from. But she made out a, I forget what you call that program she uses all the time. Lotus or what, but she laid out a chart for my neighbor over here and tells him what to do and when to do it. And it depends on the grass, because what kind of grass Tim got? He's got Bermuda, doesn't he? And we got fescue. And like, he can put out a pre-emergent in the fall, but we can't do that on this fescue. And anyways, it was all color-coded and laid out. And boy, he followed that, and he said, wow. But you know what? Amy's licensed for it, and she used to own Lawn Doctor of Greer, her and Scott. So she's pretty knowledgeable. So she orders ours. I tried to pay her for it this time because there was $200 worth there. And I was going to split it with her, and she wouldn't have it. And so she says, no, you do stuff for us all the time. And so she just gave it to us.
Nice. Yeah, we have Bermuda sod. It's something my dad had put out. They had the whole yard dug up, because they put in a sprinkler system, and then, and they put that 8 inches deep, and then they put sod, Bermuda sod down. And it looks real good though, and but I like fescue myself better. But we're having I was treating it myself, and then when the guy told me how much it was, I was paying twice as much to do it myself, and I was using their product, so. I said, when he told me how much it was, I said, yo, shoot ya. I said, knock yourself out. So he comes and does all the treatment. My yard looks great, I tell you. I have no complaints.
It is a high profit business, but it certainly is well worth it if he's reasonably priced. Tim had that done for a year, and then he took it over himself, my neighbor. But we've been blessed with Amy, because when we come here, it looked like the Gobi Desert out front.
Know what that looks like, but I can only imagine how much grows in the desert. But anyway, what was I going to say? My yard had lots of weeds, and as a matter of fact, if it wasn't for the weeds, I don't think I'd have anything to cut when we moved in, and so it looked pretty rough, and then this guy came in next door, and he got his lawn, he's got the same Bermuda sod, and guy is looking really good, and so I didn't want to be outdone, and I was tired of the weeds anyway, so yeah, it looks good now. I'm real happy with it.
That's what Tim told me, that we shamed him into taking care of his lawn. Well, the fescue is wonderful until it gets hot, and then you need to water, and we don't have a watering system, so it's kind of a pain, but we go out and put the sprinklers up and do it, but not as often as needed, of course. But it just doesn't like hot weather as well as the Bermuda does, but I like to see the green grass in the wintertime. Now, it's kind of dormant now, but it'll be coming back very, very shortly. And we probably ought to water it now after putting that down, haven't we? Well, she says we got to get the fertilizer down out back first. That's okay. I never used to care. I just seen had asphalt for a yard, but back in Kansas. But now that we've got this established and that, I'm kind of a fanatic. I go out there with the Roundup for yards. It kills weeds, but it doesn't hurt the grass. And I walk back and forth and take care of the little dandelions and stuff. The neighbor on the east of us here, where Dave used to live, DJW, she does nothing with hers. And you would be like walking a minefield out there. There's so many fire ant mounds, and she doesn't care. And she only mows if she absolutely has to. But that's okay. They're good kids, and we love them. But they just have no interest in the lawn up there, and they have a full field full of henbit right now, those purple flowers.
I mean, I got to pick up a prescription here.
Dave, I'll go ahead and sign for now, and you have a great day, and good to talk to you. KB4CBA and 0GR is clear.
ND7J Mobile.
Oh, hi, Bob. Well, I'll stick around a minute then.
Heard you and David. I just wondered if David got the blade for the saw and if he had any better luck with it. That's all.
Prescription, and I'm sure he'll answer you just as soon as he can, Bob.
Here may not be back to the house by then, but what you doing down there?
The drain locked up on the bathtub, so I had to do a little skin diving for the Roto-Rooter this morning, and went to Lowe's and picked up a new plunger and the linkage assembly. I didn't notice it been open, and somebody'd opened it up, cross-threaded the little, I don't know, I'm going to say 1032 brass thing in there. And so I had to make two trips down there. And so I got a bad case of closed pores.
We're lucky you got away with two trips, that's all I can say. When it comes to plumbing projects, I buy two of everything and add a few things on that I don't even think I'll need, and then return whatever I don't use. That seems to save a trip. But you still got to do a return, so there you go.
Well, the number of people in Lowe's this morning, we never go there on Saturday or Sunday. The number of people I described to Dave and Phil a while ago when I was talking to them, and DJW was on here. I said, it looked like a fire ant mound after you hit it with a hole.
Nice day, and people are wanting to get out. They've been cooped up, I think, so get a nice day. Maybe they're not going to go congregate, but they're going to try and get out and maybe work around the house.
Go to congregating, Bob. Didn't you realize everything's open back up now?
Where it looks like, you know, their people are beginning to fall about a little bit. I'm still being optimistically cautious.
KB4CBA.
There's the man of the hour. Did you get your blades for your multi-tool, and were you able to cut a straight line?
Bob, the blades are on the way, and, no, I can't cut a straight line with the thing. I tried the knife thing, and then that didn't work, so I got my hacksaw out and kind of, you know, started a line with that, and it still wouldn't cut a straight line, or I couldn't cut a straight line with it, and I mean, I was trying hard. I wasn't trying to rush through it, so, and it's a Works, WRX, that's the brand name of the tool.
Exactly what kind of tool it is. Is it kind of like a flat blade on it that looks like a putty knife with teeth?
You play.
Okay, yeah, you gotta kind of put one corner of that blade in. It depends on what you're cutting. What are you trying to cut?
Up some drawers to make them fit. Go in a little deeper because we're putting a different front on them.
Well, that might be a little tough to do with that kind of a saw, but practice makes perfect. So anyway, let me send it over to Tom. I'm turning down onto my road here, but let me send it over to Tom. Good to hear you, David. Good luck with that project you've got going on there. N0TR to take it, ND7J.
Okay, Mom. Well, good to hear you this morning. The only best wishes I can give you is I wish you was as good looking as I am. This is N0TR.
That one. But I guess beauty is in the eye of the withholder. ND7J. 73, guys.
And that's one. Go ahead, Dave.
I'm going to tell the contractor on the punch list that I don't like what I see in the mirror when I look in it, so he's going to have to change that.
I just got a good email here, Dave. I'll send it to you. It's the good old boys go wild pig hunting. What could possibly go wrong? And, oh, wow. I've never hunted those suckers, and I think I'll just abstain from that. but it's a good one. You'll enjoy it.
Center. Well, you know what the famous last words of a redneck are?
I'm not sure. This one says the rules to remember is when boar hunting. It says, number one, bring enough gun. And number two, never underestimate your quarry. Number three, make sure it's really, really dead before you start fooling around with the trophy. And number four is revert to rule number one, bring enough gun.
Part of that, because I was feeling, you have to stop at two places. You know, when you pick your drugs up, and the first one contacts the people inside the hospital, and then they have to bring your drugs out, and then you go to another booth, and they take your money and give you your drugs. Anyway, the famous last words of a redneck are, watch this.
I can believe it. Well, this definitely come from a redneck. It come from Kansas. All right, Dave, I'll catch you later. I got some cottage cheese and green pepper and tomato here all mixed together. Looks appetizing. You have a good day, my friend. Talk to you later in 0TR.
KI4DOS.
Go ahead.
Hey, David, the one thing about the pig hunt, you can't have too many guns. Can't have too many guns for any reason. And the last thing a redneck says is you ain't going to believe this.
I'll send this one to you and Ray and Gary.
Have a good afternoon. Tell Miss Bernice we said hello. And I know you were fixing to clear out.
CPA and Gary's in here too. Oh, great, Gary. I forgot your call. Anyway, you can give it to him on your next turnaround. But anyway, that the last breaker. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Jeff on this end. You know what the first word of a redneck is, don't you?
Be good.
My call's KI4DOS, Donkey on Skates. And I don't know why David can't remember that. He just has one of them senior moments, I guess.
I'm constantly in a senior moment.
Sometimes, what are y'all talking about?
That's big concern with it, Jeff. It's yours.
About Thursday, and I still got brain fog from it.
I tell you, I've heard a bunch of call signs, especially this weekend, with the contest that was going on. It's unbelievable.
But I don't remember. And Jeff, I'm sorry you had to go through a round of chemo, but I hope it's doing you a whole lot of good.
I hope it is too, man. Who knows? I mean, they just got me on a maintenance plan. They'll keep me on it from now on, I guess, as long as they're getting their $67,000 a month, I figure they won't never take me off of it.
I hope your insurance is paying some of that.
They're billing that social insecurity for it, you know?
Looking at part of it anyway.
Those good grief, guys, I did it again. Instead of having Medicare, I got one of those, I had it on the tip of my tongue. It ain't a Medicare supplement. It's a dead gun. You probably know what I'm talking about. I can't even call it, and I know it as good as my own name. Plans is what I'm trying to say.
I don't know which one you got. I got the, not advertising for them, but I got Blue Cross Blue Shield. I had a different one, but it didn't cover as much and as this plan does, so I swapped over.
For years, and it did good, but this year I had to switch over to United Healthcare to get my eye doctor back into it.
United Healthcare.
Still for United Healthcare. I was an insurance agent for nearly 25 years. They were a good company.
I don't really envy an insurance salesman. It doesn't seem like something I like to do, but anyway, somebody's got to do it, and I'm glad you did.
But I didn't care a whole lot for the medical side of it. I sold more life insurance and annuity products than I did anything else.
Had to sell insurance for for a short period of time after we first got married. And she got out of that, got into the medical profession, and she worked with the outpatient diagnostic and outpatient surgery centers. And she did IT for them, and she enjoyed that before she retired.
How you doing today, Gary?
Cut my grass and the battery was dead on my lawnmower. So I went out and got me a battery. I'm fixing to get back to the house here. I'm almost home and I'm going to go put the battery in the lawnmower and see if I can run over the weeds that's growing and the wild onions and that sort of thing. And hopefully it'll make the place look like somebody lives there again.
I just used my, I had a real nice industrial charger, like they use in an automotive shop, and I just hooked it up straight to the starter and started it up like that, and bypassed everything else. So anyway, and it started it up, so what the heck. And it had a pull start too, but I never did fool with it.
Putting a space in there in case Jeff wanted to jump back in there. Well, that's a good thing to have that pull start. Well, my battery died actually last year, and I had the tractor out there in the barn, and I just pushed a lot more out. I backed the tractor out, had a set of jumper cables, and I jumped it off. But the wife said that she didn't want me doing that to go buy a battery. And I thought I was going to have to spend $70, $80 for it, but didn't have to spend but $30. So I feel real fortunate in that respect. So hopefully it'll last for a little while. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But you gentlemen have a great day. What's left of it? I'll say 73 to you. And we'll talk to you again sometime soon, I hope. KO4JQX and K4CBA. Okay, F4DOS mobile clear.
Well, enjoy the rest of the day, and good to talk to you. 73, go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, Gary, have a good day, buddy. Catch you later. 73T. Yeah, Dave, you flying today, buddy?
Jim.
I said you headed out to the field to fly?
I am still... Sorry, it's a 440, Mr. Peter. I'm listening to ID in there. I haven't even gotten my plane started, so. it's a four stroke, Enya 80 engine, and the glow plug. You can't put a regular stick on it that just locks in place. It's right up against the propeller, and you would hear the propeller trying to take it off, and probably lose some fingers in the process. So I've got to get some kind of they make an extension for it. I've just got to get that and see if this thing will run, and if it will, I'm gonna spend some money on it, buy a new controller, and probably new servos too.
It's on board glow plug systems on it.
Hitting the repeater, Jeff.
I should put you one of those onboard glow plug systems on it.
It does. I'm not sure how much weight that would add to it. And mess up the balance on it. But that would be a good thing to have. We used to just the little engines that my dad had on his airplane. He built some free flight planes, and we used one of those big tall 9-volt batteries and just a clip that clipped onto the glow plug, and so things have changed a good bit. That was back in the 60s. But I want to smell that fuel burning, and I don't really care for the electric engines.
And I'm like you. I love to smell that nitromethane, listen to those gasoline engines roar.
Cut the mufflers off my Mustang. Because it just wasn't quite loud enough for me, and I had a guy cut them off for $100, so, and he welded a section in there, and they're right at the back of the car, and he put the tips back on, so it looks, just like it did. You only hear it when I get down on it, just cruising down the road. It's not loud, but it's just loud starting off, and if I step down on it or something.
You got
2012 GT. It's, other than not having mufflers, it's totally stock. About 420 horsepower, 6-speed manual, and it's definitely a lot of fun to drive, and this is the third Mustang I've owned, and the other two were probably about, I think the first one was about 225 horsepower, and the other one was about 250, so this is a pretty good leap. I can't imagine having more horsepower than this thing has.
On a 2014, just a coupe. It's got that 300-seat cylinder in it with a 6-speed. It had, I think, 2,000 miles on it when I bought it. The guy bought it, brought it right back, and traded it in for a Shelby. And first car he had. And I tell you something, man, for a 300-horse six-cylinder with a 6-speed, you know, 6-speed automatic, that thing's fast.
I've heard that they are, and I remember when they came out, I said, they're getting 300 horsepower out of that thing. And, but I don't even know, the Mustangs, the newer ones, are putting out a lot more than what this one puts out. And then I have heard that they're building one that put out 1,000 horsepower, so I guess we'll see. I haven't heard anybody talking about it being out yet, but and I'm kind of got my eye on the Bronco. I might wait a year, but they started making the Bronco again, and I've always liked them, so I may buy one of them in a year or two.
I'd love to have one, but I can't swing it right now, that's for dang sure. I was going to tell you something, and dog, it just slipped my mind.
Problem. And I've got a motorcycle, too. I've got a Honda Valkyrie. It's a horizontally opposed six-cylinder. Puts out about 135 horsepower. And it will, I tell you, it will fly. It'll just get up and go. And it's a lot of fun to ride, and it's a good cruiser bike, and doesn't have all the fairing and stuff on it like the Goldwing. It's got the same engine. It's just it looks more like a street bike or a cruiser bike than the Goldwing. I just don't like all that stuff on the fairing and all that stuff that they put on the Goldwing. But anyway, and Valkyries have come way down. They used to be, I could, up there where I couldn't afford one, and I started looking at them, I don't know when it was, a couple of years ago, whenever I got this one. And when I started seeing the prices, I went, my gosh. And so I found this one up in North Carolina, and it's got low miles on it, and the guy who had it just really babied it. I mean, it doesn't have a scratch on it or anything, and it's in great shape, so he's taking good care of it. So, anyway.
Was back in the 80s. I had a Honda. I can't remember the year it was. I'd have to go back and try to look it up. I had a V45 Magna. You remember them?
Was that the four-cylinder Honda that they had?
Cylinder 700. It was it had a V45 opposed racing engine on it. It was water cooled. It was shaft drive. They made a V45, and they made a V65. It was 1100. They looked just about identical, except one was a 700 and one was 1100.
I know what you're talking about. I've had several V-twins, Honda Shadows, and the last one I had was the American Classic Edition, and they were all 1100s. And the first bike I
ever had was a Kawasaki Vulcan 750. And that thing was great for around town, but man, it would just vibrate you to death going down the highway. I finally got rid of it and got an 1100 because I could stretch out on an 1100. It was a bigger bike, but anyway, in the road, and yeah, it was a lot better when you wanted to get on the highway with it.
It looked nothing like a Shadda. I mean, it was, you can look it up sometime. It's a V45 Magna, not a Magnum, but a Magna. And, God, it was fast. I mean, it was fast. And it was smooth, too. I mean, that was the smoothest riding bike I think I ever rode.
Two or four cycle. Well, I'll have to look it up because I'm not sure I remember them, but I've been around 66 years, so. But I didn't really get into motorcycles until after I got married. There were several things that my parents didn't approve of, and motorcycles was one of them, and guns was the other. And guess what? I have both of them. So I mean, that's just what I love. And you know, they're a lot of fun. And well, my father-in-law, he was in law enforcement. He passed away. My mother-in-law gave me several of his guns, rifles and shotguns and pistols. He had pistols everywhere in the house. She'd find one. She'd call me up, said, "I found another one." I'd have to go over there and see if it was loaded. And it was crazy. He had pistols everywhere. City Police Department. He was a captain of detectives for 28 years for Greenville City Police, and I've got his retirement revolver. It's 38 Special. It's engraved, and that's what they were using back then, back in 90, and they went to 9mm, and then I think they went to 40 caliber Glocks, and now they're using a 45 Glock, so as far as I know, they haven't changed.
Revolver, was it a Model 66 Smith?
I honestly don't know, Jeff. It had a little dinky grip on it, and I bought a bigger grip for it. Yeah, because my wife wanted to shoot it, and I knew she couldn't hang on to it. But she didn't like it. But she doesn't want a semi-automatic that she has to pull slide back. She doesn't think she can do that. She doesn't feel like she's strong enough to pull a slide back. Anyway. So, and see, she doesn't have her CWP either, so. And the way ammo is, right now, it's, I imagine the shooting ranges are kind of hurting.
In 0Q.
Yeah, it says, in spite of this, the V65 Magna appeared from 1986 to 1989 in the Guinness Book of World Records is the fastest production motorcycle with a design speed of 173 to 176 miles an hour, Jeff.
Say that again. It turned away from my radio for a second.
It said the V65 Magna appeared from 86 to 89 in the Guinness Book of World Records is the fastest production motorcycle with a design speed of 173 to 176 miles an hour.
Novel. Yeah, I rode a V65, and I can still remember the commercials on them. The guy, it was just a simple commercial. There was a guy sitting there when the commercial come on. The guy was probably about 5'11", maybe 6. He wasn't quite 6 foot, 5'10", 5'11". He was dressed in solid black leather, black gloves, and a black helmet. And he was sitting in the road on it. It had 1 foot down, and he dumped the clutch and just smoked the tire, and then he was just gone, just out of sight. And I didn't want to say this a while ago because it's been so long ago, I didn't want to make an idiot out of myself, but from what I could remember, there wasn't a bike on the road that would cut them two Hondas between the 700 and 1100. I seen mine. It was a friend of mine had a 700 Shadow, and I had that 700 V45. And he told me, he said, my 700 outrun your V45. And I said, in your dreams. And we was on Highway 11 one day, and we was running side by side at 110 miles an hour. And I looked over at him, and I just kind of looked at him like, is that all you got? And he looked at me and grinned, and I dropped one gear, and I just walked off and left him. I was running probably about 140, 45.